Alright, so we want to continue and probably put a pause. There's no teaching that stops, amen. No teaching that stops. But I just recall that I stopped since wells without water. I just, God prompted me back today. So I'm going to, not today, we're not going back there today. But I'm going to go back there very soon. The retreat is going to change a lot of things, but we'll be fine. But I want to put a pause to, John, are we looking at it again? Does God know when the cup is full? We are, today is the last batch of it. Amen. John chapter 10. Does God not know when it is enough? Does God not have an idea of enough? You know, if you work in corporate, you do budgets, right? Then you have projections, financial projections. In fact, no investor takes you serious if you cannot give an account for, if you cannot use the past to analyze the future. So you look at your ARR, you look at your MRR, you look at your churn rate, you look at your client acquisition cost and all of those stuff. And then you bring them together to be able to say, we predict that this should be enough, right? At the end of 12 months, this should be enough for us. And we're asking, does God not have an idea of what's enough? John 10. A scripture we have been all around since we started. Verse 10, it says, the thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that you may have life and that you have it more abundantly. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And Jesus says, but let not your attention be on the thief. I am also come. And if you have a question on why did Jesus come? Why did he have to become man, die a sinner's death, was buried, rose again. Why did he do all of that? He's answering your question. He says, so that you can have life, which is eternal life. That means you will never die. I say, so what happens, you know, of course, Paul explains that there will come a time when the believer will sleep. He calls it in 1 Corinthians 15, a sleep, he calls it in Thessalonians, so the church in Thessalonica. And which means to put this body, and just get out of the body, and you know, that's over. That tenure of the body is gone. But your spirit lives forever. You are equipped with the kind of life God has himself. This is not brainwashing. This is not trying. It's not a fallacy. It is God's word to us. If the believer would die, then he lied. He calls it eternal life. So Jesus says, I am come that you may have eternal life. I'm come that you may have life and that you have it more abundantly. And we're looking at the more abundantly part. Because eternal life is already eternal. But he explains more abundantly already from verse 9 where we're looking at it. He says, they'll find pasture. They'll go in and out and find pasture. They'll have life. And then they'll go in and out and find pasture. He said the word more abundantly is the word perissos, right? Which means excessive. Jesus says, the kind of life I'm going to give those who believe, those who are my sheep, is excessive. So we began to investigate, take a look into God's character and God's nature. And we said, it is excessive. Say excessive. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. My cup runs over. So we said, does God not know when the cup is full? Why didn't he just stop when the cup is full? I mean, the cup is full. There are times we journey through life with half full cups. And sometimes, maybe a cup full to the brim. I'm okay. In fact, I had a friend one time say, I just want to be eating. And maybe we've also had that mentality before. I've had it before too, amen. He said, I just want to be eating. As long as I can eat. And I can, what else? Is there someone say, I can eat, I can travel to any place I want. What else? What else? What else do you use money for? Don't mention ministry yet. Okay. You're in church, so you're going to say, just give missionaries you. You never thought about missionaries before. All right, so what else do you use money for? Get cars, right? Buy data. That's cute. Really? I've never thought about that. Yeah, that's true. You use money to buy data. I've never thought about it. Mention things you want God to do. Okay. To buy a house. You don't need money. But Prophet. Vacations, yeah? Feed your family well. What else do you need money for? Enjoyment. You know, there's enjoyment. What are you enjoying with? So, you know, and then we go all of that. I need money for this and this and this. And God is saying, the cup can overflow. Because God's plan is excessive. And there's a reason for it. Of course, it's his kingdom. But his character is consistent with being excessive. And as long as the cup is there, God will keep pouring. But sometimes we go away with the cup. And sometimes we just go away with the cup. When I was in Burden House, a lot of things in my life happened when I was in Burden House. It was a molding phase. Sometimes I'm lost, sometimes I'm found, sometimes I recognize myself, sometimes I don't. I tend to think a lot inside. So I had time to formulate a lot of thoughts under trees. The Burden House is inside the forest in Osun State. It's inside the forest. Federal government colleges, they don't make them in towns except the ones in Lagos. Just see them. When you get to a village, you now go inside. You know? And sometimes we go to the stream to fetch water. There was no bowl, so don't bother. There's nobody pumping water for you. Except they will bring there's this truck that brings water. They will just fill the tank. There's one iron tank. They fill the tank. Then when the tank is gone, it's done. Till the next tanker comes in. You know, there was no bowl. There'll be bowl in Nigeria, but it's for politicians there. You know, and I remember going to the stream one day, and I just got a half bucket. I was okay with half bucket because I wanted to do Arise and Shine. If you know what I mean. You know, rise and shine for a light that's come. You don't know it. Told you, you know, rise and shine now. Have you not done rise and shine before? You don't know rise and shine. You all know it. And you have all done it during our time. But it's fine. So, I'm going back with an half empty bucket. Funny enough, many years later, I was preaching and it just came up. That image played again in my mind. Why do you go to the stream with a bucket and you fetch the water to half? You went with a whole bucket and you came back with it half empty or half full. And God told me, said, is that not how sometimes we react as believers? We get a little, and then we're okay. Of course, there's contentment. And there's also lack of faith in God to do more. And oftentimes that comes from self-centeredness. When we're okay with, I've got mine. I don't need any other person. I don't need you. You have never seen yourself as a channel for God to use to bless others. Then that's wrong. So we said, does God not know when the cup is full? Does God not have an idea of enough? Remember that story of Elisha and the widow. And Elisha asked the widow, what do you have? You know? Elijah has already done his own. Elijah did his own in 1 Kings. Elisha did his own in 2 Kings chapter 4. Elijah's own was, the oil will not finish. Elisha said, you have a jar of oil. Okay, that's fine. What you're going to do is that you're going to go and borrow. Imagine your neighbor coming to you and say, do you have 50, is it 50 liters now? 50 liters gallon. He said, yeah. How many do you have? We don't really use it, but there was a time we had like 4. Bring it. And you see our gathering gallons and gallons and gallons with a trailer and then 2 trailers and 3 trailers and 4 trailers. What are you using gallons for? And from a jar of oil, there are thousands of liters filled. And the oil stopped. I remember we have a teaching when the oil stopped. I think so. Or why the oil stopped. I don't know which one. It's why. Is it why or when? Why? Okay. And I said, the oil only stopped flowing when there was no jar. Right? The oil didn't stop because God felt it was enough. The oil didn't stop because the woman felt it was enough. The oil only stopped multiplying. And we receive multiplications in Jesus' name. The oil only stopped because there was nothing to receive it. And so, it's not just on God's part to give. It's also, the onus is also on us to receive. God can only stop to minister when people cannot receive. And this is not just about material prosperity. It's also about your healing. When people cannot receive, God, there's nothing God can do. Was it here I thought when God's hands are tied? I thought somewhere else. When God's hands are tied, there's nothing God can do because you can't receive it. Healing, revelation. Jesus said, I have so many things to say unto you, but you can't receive them. You can't. So I can't give it. I know how to receive. There are folks who, God will, there's something, there are doors God would have opened financially. Because we are focusing on financial prosperity in this sense. But they just don't know how to receive it. They just shut themselves out sometimes. You won't be like that. Yeah, it's not really much of an amen, but more of what you do after the amen. Amen? What you do with the amen? We say a lot of amens. You know, as believers, we are trained to say amen a lot, which is good. Amen is the first sign of, oh, I receive it for myself, so shall it be. But amen. But you say, I receive it for myself, and you walk the opposite direction. Is that really an amen? An amen is almost, it's a walk, not a talk. An amen is a walk, not a talk. Hallelujah. So he said, I am come to give life and to give it in excess. Perismos, too much. Superlative in both quantity and quality. Look at Luke chapter 5. So we said, God's character is excessive. God's character is too much. And if you're starting life, you're in your 20s, you're in your 30s, early 40s, that's starting life.
Once you're in your late 40s, life has started since. Amen. Hallelujah. Life has started. 40s where you have the, they say, it's my background. If I had a better background, they say that stops at 40. The moment you are 40, you are the background. Youth people are complaining and say, my background. Amen. But there's a new story.
Amen.
You know, I just tell you now that there are folks who right now appear to have nothing. But in 1 year from now, you're going to have plenty.
Amen.
Because God can trust you.
Amen.
I heard that clearly just right now. It appears like you have nothing now. But you know, God can trust you. And you're going to have, in 1 year.
Amen. Yeah.
Today's 22nd of October. Luke 5, verse 1. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word, well, I think we should do that more often, to press to hear the word, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two sheep standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their fishing nets. So they were done. And he entered into one of the sheep, which was that of Peter's, and prayed him that he would trust out a little from the land. And he asked him, the word prayer there, itio, to make a demand, to desire. A-I-T-E-O. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. That's four. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch into the deep and let your nets for a draught. And Simon answered in verse 5, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night. We have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. Now, you know, this is, sometimes we are quick to correct people as you're reading the story. We say, it's Jesus talking to you. Just let it down. But sometimes we do that too, don't we? And God gives an instruction. He said, I've tried that before. Everybody asks me to update my CV, submit in different places. I've tried that before. Everybody asks me, why not go into this business? It's selling. Karakata. Buying and selling. Everybody has told me that this particular thing, agency banking. I like that profession. It sounds polished. Agency banking. It's fine. Whoever thought of that is a genius. But Nigerians is pointed POS. POS. Just agency banking. I don't know a lot of POS don't know they are agency bankers. But it's fine. And you I've tried this, I've tried that. Let down your net. How many minutes is it going to take? The fact that you have done something before and it didn't work does not mean it can't work again. And that's why I said, the plenty can only stop when there is nothing to receive it. There is nothing God is going to do if we are not ready to take action. Let down your net. And Peter said, you know what? At your word. Then what happened? And when he had done that, verse 6, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net broke. Your net will break. That of prayer is your net will break. You have to get a bigger one. Amen. Does God not know the amount of fish the net can take? I mean, did God not have an idea that this net will take 1,000 fishes and wrap it up? But nah, God has to show himself. Net breaking God. Says, and the net broke. That means we can have more. We can have too much. Amen. And they beckon to their partners. That's a beautiful thing. When God blesses you, the people around you too, they enjoy it. Isn't it? Huh? You know. It's not every time you call your uncle that is in Dubai. Why can't you be the uncle that they are calling to?
Is that not a good thing? Come on, is that not a good thing?
Yes, sir.
I say, Pastor, just one night. I plan to call. I plan to call this night. I beg. It's not every time you know, God can actually make you a source of blessing.
Amen.
So these guys were already washing their nets. I mean, they were tired. Jesus is tired. They are tired. Everybody's tired. And Jesus said, I'm not going to use your sheep and you go away like that. I've told you before, everything you let go as an offering to God, he'll pay you. He'll pay you back. Jesus said it in Mark 10. He says, anyone who has left houses, lands, wives, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, for my sake. He said, they will get it back in 100-fold. Not just in eternal life. He said, they'll get it when? In this present world. Mark 10, 30. Jesus was not blabbing. He means what he says. He says what he means. He wasn't going to use their sheep and then just say, you're blessed. Which you're blessed. You're blessed is a lot of things. You're blessed. But Jesus said, you know what? You should go home with fishes. Hallelujah. Your net is too clean. You should go home with fishes. He says, I have to call people. Their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. You know, when you are calling your competitors and say, come and help me, then it's too much. And they came and they filled both the ships and that they began to sink. Does God not know when it's too much? The ships began to sink. Sink, shim, pim, miracles. Amen? I remember, you know, there's this one, they call it student account when you're on campus. I think it was GT Bank. This student account, they can't take more than, was it 200,000 naira then? 100,000 naira. Remember? I've used that account. I used when I was in campus. I think I stopped using it in 200 or 300. So, myself and my guy, we had one deal, one printing deal with one company on the island then. And we got, I don't know, the profit was for me, my own share was about 350. 300 level or 400 level. They sent it to my bank and I could not withdraw. Bank blocking. You know, as at that moment, now, of course, 400,000 naira might not be anything. Amen? If 400,000 blocking my account now, something's wrong. Amen? You know, but then, I mean, for someone who didn't have 5K in the pocket, I had to go to the bank and then go and bring Nepa B. I stay in the hostel. I didn't even know they generate the power here. I just put on light. You know, in the hostel, you don't pay power bills. Amen? So you go get utility bills. Get. That's an account shaking miracle. Amen? Their contract, you get given now. And then you have to go and meet the account manager and say, I might need a separate kind of account to get this. Amen? I've not done this kind of thing before. Hallelujah. Stories can change in a minute. That's what Jesus just did. They were washing their nets. They were preparing to go home. They just saw this fine-looking man who wanted to preach. We're not using the sheep. You can't. And it was done. He says, let down your net. I mean, we've washed it. We've washed it. We're not using it again today. It's tomorrow. He just said, nah, your net is too clean. You should have fishes. And the net broke. And they had to use another ship. And the ships were sinking. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we walk in plenty. Mm-hmm. So he gave them back. So I said, God honors those who honor him. I think we had a teaching recently about that. What's the title again? Take off your shoes. Thank you. God honors those who honor him. If you give to him, he gives to you. Of course, there are folks in the body of Christ, and listen to me very well. Remember, we spoke about this when we were looking at wells without water, who emphasize this prosperity teaching, as it were, and misinterpreted in many quarters. But that does not take away the validity of what Jesus said. If you give to me, I'll give it to you. And we must not shut ourselves out. You are too hermeneutical to be blessed. That's not you.
That's not
you. too theological. You know Bible verse too much. You know, no. God does not do give, I give to you. He does. And we've been looking at that. We still look at it again. Does God not know when the net is full? Net breaking, ship sinking, too much God. He's a cup running over kind of God. Amen. John 6. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lack is far from you in the name of Jesus. I pray for you that all the resources you need, that will make you stop begging, that will make you stop worrying, in the name of the Lord Jesus, they are bound towards you. The Lord is your shepherd. You will have what you want.
Amen.
Have your seat. Have your seat. You know, because sometimes, like I said when we started this teaching, sometimes we make lack look pious. We make it look holy. But there's nothing holy about lacking things. Just like wealth too, like I said, is not a fruit of the Spirit. But I know which one I'd rather have. I want to have plenty. I mean. Hallelujah. Take some things out of prayer point. Take something out of prayer point. The prayer point will not be how to harness it. He said, God, I've been fasting and praying for 21 days. Say, why? For what? To know which ministry to give it to. It's not about how to have it. Mm-mm. To know, to be led on where to put. There's this 21 billion naira. That 21 billion will receive. That's good. Net shaking, eh?
Yes,
huh? Net breaking.
Yes,
it's yours. John 6. After this, Jesus, verse 1, went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. I told you, diseases are no match for him. And Jesus went up into the mountain and he sat there with his disciples. And the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great multitude company. And he said unto them, Philip, where can we buy bread so that they can eat? I've told you, Jesus does not entertain lack. When they had no money to pay for tax, he said, go to the river. He's Jesus, for crying out loud. He said, you will see fish. He said, which one, which brand, which species? When you see it, open the mouth, bring our money. Come on, there are no impossibilities. Stop shortchanging God. Stop. God is not a man. The ones who saw this wrote it down. It will be like film. Everywhere go first blur. I've been seeing that recently on Twitter. Everywhere go first blow. I mean, you catch a fish, and you're saying, that better be true. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost, you open the mouth of the fish, and you see 10 pounds. What kind of God is it? What he will not say is we don't have. He won't say that. So he saw the multitude and said, you know what, where can we buy bread? Philip, where can we buy bread? Philip said, he said this to prove him, for himself he knew what he was going to do. So he already had it figured out. As he saw the multitude, he said, well, they're going to eat. Ain't they? Philip said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them. Let me give you an idea of what 200 penny worth. It's almost a year or 2 year wages, 2 year salary. It's not enough to feed these guys. That every one of them may even take a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon's brother. There's a lad here, verse 9. Lad is a young boy, a teenager. Sometimes, maybe not a teenager, 8 to 9. He has 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. He says, small fishes. But God's not concerned if it's small. That business might start small. God's not concerned if it's small. Multiplication is God's thing. That career path. God's not concerned whether it's small. Do not despise the days of little beginnings. Don't despise the days of little beginnings. He who started the work is able to complete it. And no mountain will stand before Zerubbabel. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
5 birds and 2 small fishes, verse 9. What are they among so many people? Verse 10, Jesus said, let them sit down. There was so much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. They must think he's about to start another seminar. And Jesus took the loaves. And he said, Master wants to eat. Master. No, that's the leadership of the world. They eat, the followers starve. But not Jesus. And when he had given thanks, verse 11, he distributed to the disciples. And the disciples said to them that were set down, likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Can we verse 12 together? When they were filled, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, and nothing be lost. Verse 13, therefore they gathered to them 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 loaves which remained over above them that had eaten. Does God not know when everyone is full? I mean, they were full of bread and fishes. Is God not aware that they were filled already? Yet, 12 baskets is a sign of an excessive God. Net breaking, ship sinking, cup running over, kind of God. Amen. He's still the same God. Has he changed? Come on, has he changed? So how come we find it hard to walk with this God? How many years now? We are hustling. Last year, you were hustling. 2 years ago, hustling. 5 years ago, hustling. What has changed? When did you actually put it in God's cabinet and say, what am I going to do? Give me direction. Point me to the way to go. Surround me with favor. Did you actually tell him all of this? Because he has not changed. He's the same God that multiplied the loaves. He's the same God that told Peter, put your net down. If you're close to me, you know. Sometimes I have to tell God things and say, so what are we going to do? I didn't create myself. Amen. Right? You don't know. I didn't create myself. And I didn't give myself the ministry. You called me. You called me by name. You told me what to do. You're going to feed me. You're going to take care of me. Amen. I'm God's child. You take care of me. And one of the things my dad told us growing up, say, if everything is blocked outside, I told my wife some years ago, say, if everything scatter, come back home. I'm not afraid to go back home. To God. This time around. Amen. And that's such a good thing to tell your child. I mean, I heard this as at 9, 10. Said, everybody has rejected you. Said, nothing, everything has spoiled. Come back home. We'll figure it out. And I took that as a statement that is coming from God. And I know God will always have my back. I know, I'm certain that the Lord is my shepherd. I will not want. So, does God not know when the cup is full? John chapter 12. Before I go to John 12, I want to share a story with you. So he said, in the course of the teaching, the series, I made mention, I think, the second track, or I can't really remember. My note is not in the batches. It's straight. And you just see some rounding up and some questioning and so. And I said, which I still said today, no one who gives to God. And we still saw it with Peter. Goes back empty. Sooner, later, somehow, somewhere, he'll be repaid. Paul says, he that sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He that sows bountifully, 2 Corinthians 9, will reap bountifully. You don't reap bountifully by the Spirit. You reap bountifully because you sow, whatever you sow, it's the same verse now. So if I sow material things, thank you. I will not reap tongues. Some years ago, something happened. Yeah, this is about 2 years ago, I think, 2003. I went to teach somewhere. And it was 2 days. Shola, was it last year? On the island? It was last year? Or earlier this year? It's not 2003. Told you that time. Was it last year? The island one. You're not sure. And on the way there, God placed something in my heart. Funny enough, I don't know what their pastor was. I don't know anything. I don't have an idea. I just wanted to go teach. It was ministry. It was theology. And God said to me, I should tell, which is something I had never done. I should tell them to get their pastor a car. I was looking like a false prophet. That's what I said. That's what I said in my heart. I've never done this before. I was looking like a false prophet. This is something that I'm against actively. And I shy telling this story. It's because it's Glorious House Church. Yeah. They should buy their pastor a car. I said, thank God it's not even me. Like God said, they should buy me a car. How I first talk him. The pastor could look at me like this. He said, they buy their pastor a car. In that meeting, my head was my head was hot. Yeah, they're not taking care of your pastor. So I got there. I was done teaching. True to God, I had forgotten. As I was singing to wrap up, it kept coming to my head. I should have escaped. I should not have sang anything. I should have just gone. So I said, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. It's an instruction from God. I don't know how to say this. But your pastor needs a new car. The man looked at me like this. Almost crying. I mean, this is someone who is in his 60s. Your pastor needs a new car. You didn't tell me this. But I need the car between today and tomorrow. And I said, I don't want, I mentioned some cars. I don't want some cars. I want this type of car. The man loves me today. Amen. I want this, and a particular brother stood up. And he said, yes, sir. He was writing it. Every other person was looking at me like, Pastor has gone to meet this young bro. He never asked me for anything. I didn't collect the honorarium because the person who God said to me, then buy a car for, I should not be collecting money from them. You know? So when I was about leaving, the brother came, the one who was writing, and said, I will sort it. That he just saved up to get a car. He was going to go buy the car next week. And he's waiting for one of his friends to come back from Port Harcourt. But he's going to just use the money to get it for pastor. And I asked myself, what do you want? He said, nothing, just pray for me. At that moment, I felt like an old pastor. I'm just 16. Amen. So I said, knee down. And I prayed for him. So apparently it was later the pastor was telling me he had a company he had been applying to outside the country for a long time. They called him the next day. In fact, the latest batch of application, from what I was told, he didn't even apply for the latest one. They had to go pick from the rejected ones. And he said, the brother wants to thank me. He's asking for my account number. Tempted. Me, I want to send account number because it's workshop. And he didn't get that. Okay, it's fine. And I said, account number. Because he said, this bro is earning dollars. It's going to be earning dollars soon. And God said, if you dare. Sometimes those things hurt, man. Like the other time I was invited to preach in the UK. And God said, you want to go? I mean, everything was sorted. God said, you want to go? Yeah. I was even still contemplating. I had to bring two people. I was like, who are the two? My wife is going, definitely. I'm not taking profit. He's a Chelsea fan. Stay. Who else? Shall I take Bro Pam, Bro Well, Bro Shola? Who else? Toyo Sida. That's my joy. He said she's my favorite. I was still contemplating. God said, don't bother the contemplation. I have solved the issue for you. Zero. Tell them I asked you not to come. So I was about to send my account number. God said, no. Your work is done. I don't know whether that brother had it in mind because he never told me when I asked him, what do you want? He didn't say anything. Just say, pray for me. The prayer was less than 10 seconds. I just said, it is well with you. Everything that concerns you is perfected. Amen. Your desires are granted. Maybe those were not even the exact words I said because I didn't remember the exact words. But I know it was very less than that. You know, there are some prayers you don't pray and you feel ashamed that. That prayer is short. But it carried something. If you give to God, He won't leave you stranded. John 12. You learning something? John chapter 12, verse 1. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was dead, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him supper. I mean, Martha served. Lazarus was one of them, and he sat at the table with him. See, there's nothing impossible with God. This guy was dead a few days ago. I mean, they had his posters everywhere. They had wrapped him with clothes. They had tied his legs. They had done everything. But he sat at the table to eat. I received my miracle. I mean, prophet, you know what I'm talking about? If you were in healthcare, you know what I mean? You know the weight of what I just said. This guy who has been pronounced dead. TOD, everything sorted. They had printed the death certificate because they're about to bury him. The guy's about to eat. Ogbono. At the table with Jesus. He sat at the table about to eat. Dead risen God. Dead risen God. I think we need to know him more. I think we need to walk with him more. Someone asked me some time ago, why is it that we don't get the miracles that we see in the Bible? Why is it that we don't see as often? And I said, because we don't see him the same way they saw him. Maybe with the advent of technology, with the solutions that man made, we have crafted a limitation for God. And we say, you know what? You can heal, but I don't think you can really, really help my situation. I know you can raise the dead, but maybe you can't do this one. We have limited him. I mean, I told you the story on Sunday of Pastor Adeboye, who at some point could not afford to pay his one room something in Mushi. And God said, I'll give you a city. A city. Have you gone to Redemption City today? It's a city. Schools, hospitals, banks, everything is there. Except an airport. And it should be soon, in Jesus' name. Amen. I said, am I praying for redeem? Joku Sibe. We are going to have our own too. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, Lazarus, this guy is out at the table, verse 2. Then took Mary, that's one of the sisters of the formerly dead guy, a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. If John tells you very costly, it's costly. And anointed the feet of Jesus. Historically, the ointment was about 25, in today's amount, $25,000. If you know what US dollars is, if you know what it means to get $1,000, you know, some people who are citizens of the United States have not touched $25,000 once before. It's not the way you touch $25,000. In Nigerian naira, that should be about 36 million naira. Yeah. Imagine taking a perfume of 36,000 naira. 36 million. Even my tongue wanted to change 1,000 naira. 36 million. And you break it. And you pour it on your cell leader's leg. Even the cell leader in Nigeria will say, why? Why? Disobedience. I yet to do. Kole. The leg is going to smell nice for maybe a day, maybe two. This is what Mary did. About 36 million naira. And she poured it on Jesus' feet. Till today, we are still talking about her, like Jesus said. Help me, Lord, to give to you And he wiped his feet with our hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? So that's why I said the 300 pence historically now, they just calculated to, with inflation and all of that. 36, 37 million naira. Why was it not given to the poor? John now put his own. He said this not because he cared for the poor, but he was a thief. He had the bag and everything that was therein was his. Amen. And we have people that still talk like this today. Is it not too much? Some years ago, I was at the ICPC, Pastor Chris Oyakhilome. It's about 10 years ago now. About a decade. Was it 2015? I think it was 14. So about 11 years ago. I was at ICPC. Yeah, I had to get the ticket. There's a way you get the pass. Because it's an international cell leaders and pastors conference of Believers Love World. But we now get this thing. Amen. You know how plenty your pastors have to be that people can get in. We work in plenty. In the name of the Lord Jesus. There's multiplication in this room right here in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because that day, as I was getting, I said, do you know how plenty your pastors have to be for me to be here? And I was not the only one. We're three. We're pastors. But not pastors there. But we wanted to just listen to Baba. And he was sharing the story of how someone gave him a car some years ago. I think it was in 2003 or 2004. Was it Bentley or something? It was one expensive name. And one person just whispering, "Is that not too much? Is that not too much? We can sell this and use it to build a better auditorium." So he refers to this verse and says, "But she said that not because she cared for the auditorium. But she said that because she was a thief." Hallelujah. And people still say that, you know, they see it online. I remember Bishop Oyedepo had the birthday, 70 birthday, and then I think he was given a Rolls Royce or something. It was Rolls Royce, yeah. And I was reading the comment. He said, pastors, religion. It's only when they give pastors something, that's when you know religion. All these days, that when your pastors are suffering, when people leave church, shut the door, even after years of sacrifice, and they tell you, you don't matter. There's nothing you can say that can change my mind. You don't see that. Years of rejection and all that. No! When the devil should attack you directly, you come for me. Why me? So you're the pastor now. You don't see that. But small perfume. That's someone broke. Judas said, "We could have sold this for to give to the poor. We would have built factories. Is this what we need in Nigeria? We need more factories, more industries. Which one did your father build?" I don't care. I'm not your government. I'm not in APC. I'm not in PDP to be building factory for you. I love Bishop Oyedepo. He announced a year, 6 months. He said, "We are going to launch the ARC, a 65,000 capacity hall. We will launch it in November 2026. I don't want to hear we should have built factories. Start building the factory today and tomorrow. Tomorrow is Monday." He said, "Start building the factory tomorrow. Tomorrow is Monday." So by the time we'll be launching it with the factory at the same time. I don't want to hear we should have more factories. Amen. learn to give to God. Give to the poor. Now, if you give to those who are needy, you are giving to God. Jesus said, if you have done it to any of these ones, you have done it to me. He said, when did we see you that you are naked? When did we see you that you didn't have food to eat? We know you always have food to eat. Jesus said, no, it's not just me. If you have done it to any of these ones that follow me, you have done it to me. Amen. Don't be in the company of Judas. Have something. I've told you before how to use money. It is in five places. Abi, remind me again. You give to God. God will be to church, to leadership. That's one. Give to God. Every time you get money, you must have something weekly. This is separate. It is to God. If I get 10,000 naira, part of it is going to God. Then second, two, family. You plan it. If you have aged parents who are not working, you have to take care of them. Don't belong to the nonsense generation saying, I don't owe my parents anything. You are a stupid child. One was saying online, he said, I didn't force them to bring me into the world. Oma big pabe. Don't bother looking for the meaning. I know 85% of people in this hotel don't understand. So it's fine. I've escaped with that one. Let's normalize not sending money home. Ah! See people that your father entered cooperative because of you. Took loans to pay your school fees, to buy textbooks. Sleepless night. Is it not now? Now you understand why your dad used to sit outside, listen to radio, looking at. You know what I mean? Years ago, I just understood. I found myself outside. I was looking at the sky. Yeah, someone's song was playing. I think it was Phil Disco or something. Actually, one song was playing. I just played the song. I did not hear the lyrics. I was thinking about a lot of things. If I spend this one now, we have to. Now you understand your dad. When you be saying, Daddy, and he cannot hear. Or is he on NTA? And you know he's not on NTA. Years of sacrifice, years of labor. You want to normalize nonsense. When you get money, God, family includes siblings, plan it, because whatever money you don't plan, your family will plan it for you. You know what I'm talking about. If you know, you know. That's when grandma will swallow shovel. You plan it. Number three, to the poor and the needy. I'm not saying in the same proportions, though. To the poor and the needy, especially those in the house of faith. Thank you. Especially those in the glorious house. I'm not saying you label everybody, some people poor and needy. Say, bro, you poor and needy. No. I'm saying you identify that someone needs something. Maybe if accidentally they've even asked you before, do you have something I can just use? A little financial push. Amen. I'm still going to Ejibo. I need financial push. What about next month? You plan. Say, add it to your financial push. Amen. Be pushed. Someone, it doesn't appear like the person's got a lot of shoes, or a lot of shirts, or a lot of trousers, or a lot of, buy something. Sandals. Just get something. Hallelujah. That must be part of what you use your money for. Number four. to save. Right? For yourself. Save is 5, Abby. Again, I didn't put any percentage. You are the one that... Eh? Yes, I said God own must not be less than 10%. Uh-huh. You know, it is said that you pay 10%. We in Glorious House Church, what you give to God must be more than 10%. I don't care if it's 11, but it must not be 10. Train yourself to prioritize God. So, God, family, the poor and the needy, for yourself, spend on yourself. You collect money, it's not showing on your body. You don't have soap. The soap, the bath soap you are using, that soap cannot forgive you. You use bath soap from my the size of my hand to this. Yeah. That toothpaste tube, you have cut it. You will cut toothpaste, now between harvest. I can see there's still small for tomorrow. Why not just buy? You just collected salary. Amen. I don't like cream. It's a lie. You're looking like Oyibo. Your own is not just, you're not fair. You're white. You should like cream. Amen. Your belt. It has caught him. You use that belt to flock criminal, eh? He will never go back to sin. Bro, how much is belt? Sorry, I don't know. How much is belt now? Someone help me, eh? Depends. Buy belts. Sis. Buy perfume. Journal. Bro. You lift up holy hands. Journal. Amen. Let's lift up holy hands. Ah! Holy hands here. You don't care. Ah, but she lift up in the hands. Not only demons scattered, though. Saints. Saints of God. Demons have said, I fall. By Roland. Can I have an amen? The fourth, spend on yourself. And then the fifth, save. Every money that comes to your hand, you must save something. Anything. Save some. 500 naira. Save something out of it. Are you listening to me? So let's go over it again. God, which must not be less than. Thank you. Family, I don't care. Many percent. Look at your family. Some families are even the one that will send to you. different people, different games. God. Family, the poor and the needy, spend on yourself, then ensure you save. That's easy. Five. Plan it at the beginning of the month. If you have spent on yourself so much in last month, maybe you should focus more on saving this month. You get what I'm saying? It's not every month, spend on myself. Spend on myself. If not regular for retreat, spend on myself. Spend on yourself. It's 3 days to retreat end. You not be begging Sister Judith. Can I get a grace? Which grace? His grace covers all of us. Amen. Learn to give to God. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, he will reap. Lord, I don't doubt giving to you. And I don't give you cheap. So give to the poor. In Matthew 6, Jesus said it.
I need to rush now. Matthew 6. Just need you to note this down. Learn something? Verse 2. Therefore, do your alms. Do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites in the synagogues and in the street, that it may be glory of men. Verse 3, he said, but when you do your alms, let the left know what your right hand is doing. And your alms may be in secret, that your Father who sees in secret shall reward you. So Jesus said, he's saying, God will reward what you give to the poor. Simple. God will reward what you give to those who are in need. Just don't be an hypocrite. Don't say, everybody, I'm giving to Sister Ching Naza. But when you now see the shoe you gave to Sister Ching Naza in church, that's a nice shoes. Look like what I used to wear. Ah, calm down. Amen. In front of everybody. It's a nice shoe. I've seen it before.
Nah.
Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is giving. And your Father that sees what your left hand gives will reward you openly. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
You see that in Deuteronomy 15, verse 11, too. Yeah. In James 2, Deuteronomy 15, verse 11. But let's go to James 2. Thank you, Lord Jesus. James 2, verse 15. If your brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you shall say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and be filled, notwithstanding, you give them not those things that are needful, what's your gain? Amen. You see, no one is hungry and does not have clothes, and you're saying, you're blessed. See, now, they don't need you, are blessed. Give them food. Is it making sense? So, the Bible actually teaches us giving. And you see, God rewards those who give. Honor the Lord with what you have. Proverbs 3, verse 9. Say, honor the Lord with your substance, with the first fruit of your increase. Of course, that's an application of spiritual growth in there. But honor the Lord with your substance. The implication drives deeper. Proverbs 3, verse 9. Yeah. Honor the Lord with your substance, with the first fruit of your increase. In verse 10, it says, so that your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses will burst out with new wine. Amen. My barns are filled. And my press burst out with new wine. Yeah, so does God give back when we give to Him? Yes. Malachi 3. What you sow, you will reap. Did you? Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Verse 8 says, will a man rob God? Yeah, you have robbed me. They say, where? In what did we rob you? He said, in tithes and offerings. Now, the background is that the Levites are the ones who serve in the temple. Of all the tribes of Israel, the Levites have no inheritance. They have no land. Is it making sense? Of all the tribes of Jacob, they had no land. Levites have no land. So what happens is that the other 11 tribes, so if you divide the land to 12, why does the Levite not have a land? Because Reuben, being the first, will get 2. That's the double portion that belongs to the firstborn. Is it making sense? So Reuben gets 2, every other person gets 1. The Levites don't. Because the Lord is their sufficiency. So what happens is that the other 11 tribes, whatever they get out of their produce, they bring 10% for the Levites. Is it making sense? The Levites serve in the house of the Lord, in the temple. And God says, you have robbed me in tithes and offerings. So what's the tithe? The tithe is their farm produce. Cocoa, maize, agbado, ewa, gari, whatever they have done. 10% of whatever the produce is, the best of the best, they bring it to the temple so that the Levites always have food to eat. Is it making sense? So that's the idea of tithe in the first place. It's for the Levites. But for everyone who actually walks in the house of the Lord. So Paul will now run that narrative for those who labor
in word and doctrine. So we use the words we labor in word and doctrine, 2 Timothy 2, being the elders. He said, let them receive double honor. So what belongs to Reuben is what you are meant to have. But that's not for today. Like I said, he said, verse 9, he says, in tithe and offerings, verse 9 now says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this old nation. Bring you your tithes and offerings into the storehouse. So the church used to have the storehouse. I mean, in Malachi. That there may be meat in my house. And prove me now, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough. Now you see that? That will be more than enough, right? So you are going to have more than enough to receive it. So God is saying, if you honor our agreement and you bring to my storehouse what you ought to bring, I will open the windows of heaven and you will have so much, too much, that you don't even have room to take it. So does God reward what we give to him? Ah. Huh? So why don't we? If we want our cups to run over, I think we should. There's this lie of the devil. Yeah. And you see people say it a lot. And I laugh. Hey, all this one that you are doing, why not just keep it and save it to yourself? No one has ever gotten wealthy by saving. Not one person. That's never happened. Look at Proverbs 11. See what Proverbs has to say to the person. Play for me as a close place. Proverbs 11. Learn to give to the poor. Learn to give to your church. Learn to give to your pastor. Learn to give to your parents. Learn to give generally. Those who do don't lack. They don't. God's promise is sure. God is not mocked. That's what Paul said to Galatians. What a man sows, he will reap. Of course, the volume we must maintain on this must be steady. We can't afford to exaggerate it. We can't afford to make it a formula. But we are teaching a basic thing the Bible teaches. For example, in Malachi, if you sow corn, God says, I will open the windows of heaven. Rain will fall on your fields. Your harvest will be double of what you brought the last time. Yours might not be maize. If you sow kindness to people who actually are lacking in things, you also find kindness in the most unlikely places. If you sow compassion, what a man sows, he will reap. And oftentimes, like I told you, you will reap more than you sow. Proverbs 11, are you there? Verse 24. There is one that gives. Some versions have that scatters. Some have that sows. Yet he increases. There is one that withholds more than his meat, and he is still poor. What's telling you there? There is one that scatters, and yet he's increasing. And there is one that is. He said, if I gather this one and put this one together. He said, yet he will still tend towards poverty. He will not tend towards poverty. Amen. Let us receive the instruction that comes from God. Does God not know when the cup is full? Yes, he does. But he's running the cup to overflow because he wants us to be channels of blessings to those around us. Not just those around us, to the world at large. I've said it before. The believer was made to feed the nations. Through you, God wants to bless a missionary in Syria, a Christian group in Lebanon, somewhere in India. That is God's idea of prosperity. Through prosperity shall his kingdom be established. Zechariah 1:17. His kingdom spreads abroad through prosperity. But how will God now trust a man with a cup that is running over. Jesus says, if you have been faithful in little, say, he that is faithful in little, the same. Eh? The same is what? Faithful. He didn't say we'll be faithful. The same is faithful in much. If God will trust you with abundance, we'll start seeing it now. Share with your neighbor and see what you learned.